today. Two passages tied together, demolishing strongholds. We've moved from all the stuff of looking at our childish behavior and all the problems associated with life. By the way, I wanted to ask everyone on the I've had quite a bit of response from the one last week, on the dealing with that. Did that touch a lot of you on your behavior? Did it help a bunch of you? Let me know. Did it? Okay. And I was hoping that Ann might hear it, but she wasn't here. You're welcome. You can watch it online, and you'll get her a copy of it. She can see it or something. We've had response from that, and I thought, well, okay. It was really it was a theological counseling message, and one of the strongest that's come from a long time on why, dealing with childish behavior and the stuff we do and coming from things that just we're programmed from as kids. Well, you say, so why are you going into that now? Is there a purpose? Yeah, because when we talk about strongholds, if we're not really watchful, we'll find that we've retreated into strongholds with childish behavior and all this stuff that goes on in our lives, and we've retreated into strongholds. And what was okay in the beginning, it kind of helped us recover and recuperate, has now become a real issue. And we're struggling resisting God because we like our stronghold. And we fortify it all the time. So let me read this. The first one, the first part I'm going to read, just a little piece, and then I'll give you background to this, is in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Beginning with verse 1. It reads like this: David left Gath, sure you've been to Gath, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, and all those who are in distress, are in debt, or discontented, gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. And from there David went to Mizpah and Moab. All these names and we don't identify, I know, but stay with the story because we'll see. So now you see what's going on? If you haven't read this real thoroughly and studied it, Saul, David's already been anointed king of Israel, but Saul is king. And Saul's trying to kill him. He wants him dead, so David is fleeing Saul. And this is the big thing that's been going on and going on and going on. And God delivers David and keeps him out of the reach of Saul. And Saul will repent of what he's doing and then come right back and do it again and again and again. He's got an evil spirit on him, the scripture says. David used to play music for him and calm him down. Then he'd throw a spear at him and try to kill him. Wouldn't you like to live in a house like that? You're saying, well, I do. Okay, I'm sorry. But anyway, so he went to Mizpah and Moab, and he said, the king of Moab, would you let my father and mother come stay here? This is a desperate man. He's going to everybody. So he left him with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the what? Stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. And you say, okay, Tony, what have you got for us there? Well, I'm going to give you this other one and we'll come back to it in a minute. But out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I always want to go to 1 Corinthians. I just don't know why. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to read this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war. This is a New International Version, by the way. And we do not wage war as the world does. And you'll find this on your bulletin. You keep that. The weapons, he said, don't fight like the world fights. You can't fight the devil with worldly ways. You can't karate chop him. You can't shoot him down. You can't mortar him. You can't fire anything at him. Nothing man-made is going to do this job. That's what he's talking about. So he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Okay, so that eliminated all that. On the contrary, they have divine power. What? The weapons we fight with that God's given us. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You got that? So what did he say? He said, our weapons have divine power. Divine, God's power, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we do what? Take captive. And this whole thing is the key. You got to watch this. Tie it in. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now let those two go together. One, you got to leave the stronghold, and the other one, you got to tear them down. If you can't leave me, if you won't leave, then they're going to be torn down. You must let them be torn down. God wants to destroy your strongholds. And so let's look at this now for a moment at this stronghold business. You know, getting into strongholds. How did David get into a stronghold? Well, listen, if you let me work a little background with you. David's running from Saul. And then he goes to Ahimelech, the priest. And you know, you can read all this prior to this in 1 Samuel. He goes to Ahimelech, the priest, and ate the consecrated bread there. Now, he get this. Here, this is just so much subterfuge and things going on. David lied to the priest. Now, this is a man after God's own heart, remember. But he was human. And he goes to the priest and he says, I've been sent here on a secret mission from the king. You can read all this. And I can't tell you everything, but my men are hungry. And because it's secret, we can't be out there and let everything be exposed. So we need something to eat. So here he is, you know, we're on a spy mission for the man. And we're out here and we need to feed our men secretly. So all the priest had was showbread. Now that's consecrated bread that was given to the Lord, but he just replaced it with new loaves. So he had these loaves that had been consecrated to the Lord the day before. And he says, I can give you these loaves of bread. So David took it and he lied to get it. Now keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. You know, and there's a lot of things here that you want to grab hold of. So here's a man after God's own heart, but in desperation, he lied to get food. So he went to the king of Gath for a stronghold, but Gath knew who he was. His officer said, isn't this David who kills all these Philistines? They sang a song about this guy. Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. It's like, you want this guy here? So David heard about that. Have you ever read in here what he did? It said that he started drooling out of the mouth on his beard and started scratching at doors to make himself look insane so the king of Gath wouldn't kill him. You know what this is? You ready? Let's title The Stronghold. The Stronghold of Drama. How many... Just go ahead and start thinking about it as we're going through this. How many of you, at times in your life, either yourself or you've known someone who has used a drama to get your way, thrown a fit, had a spell, stomped your foot, slammed the doors, locked the doors? How many of you have exaggerated a story to get sympathy? Don't raise any hands. You don't have to. How many of you use drama just like Drama today is one of the most effective means, and it's still the most popular to get one's way. Drama. Oh, I'm going to kill myself if you don't do this. I'm just going to die if I don't have that news. Oh, and it goes on. The drama. Seen it in churches. You're going to get new choir robes. That's why we don't have a choir. I don't want to go through that ever again. But we're going to get new choir robes or something. And, oh, the drama. You ought to see it. Oh, my God. You know, somebody will say, we need red and blue drama, you know, red and blue choir robes and all that. And, oh, God, no. Red is a sign of blood. Oh, no. Oh, it just makes me sick every time I see it. Okay. And what about black? Oh, black is death. Oh, I can't. And all the drama. And then you nod your head. We've seen it. You know, most of you have. Drama. And he used drama. Here's the king of Israel. And he's using drama to save his life, to get food to eat. And so look at this. This is becoming a stronghold right here. You use drama. When you first start out, maybe drama helped you get by a bad situation, get out of something, get something that was desperately needed for you and a bunch of people. David was not getting this bread, by the way, for himself. He had several hundred men that, I don't know how these loaves of bread fed that many, but he had a bunch of men out there at the time, about 400, that needed something. And he used drama to get it. See, he used something to convince his priest. He used the drama about a spy story. You know, we're on a mission. The king has sent us out here. That we're the elite team of special forces guys sneaking through the boonies. Okay, well, he didn't quite say it that way, but that's my transliteration anyway. So then he takes all this and he goes to the cave. So he takes his stronghold of drama. And he goes into the stronghold of seclusion, hiding, and withdrawal. How many of you know this stronghold quite well? How many of you retreat to this stronghold when things get hard and tough? It's where you run. You see, and it's good in it for a while. It's good to get away and get with God and get it together, but then you want to stay there. You say, I don't want to be around people anymore. I don't trust people. I can't believe a thing that anybody says. And you start using drama and excuses then to stay in a stronghold. Oh, listen. We like to overact and to overplay. The human race does. We overact, we overplay it, we exaggerate. We use drama to get others to do what we want them to do. To get our own way. And all these strongholds, they helped in the beginning. They got us through. They helped David get away from Saul for a time. Let me tell you what happened because of these strongholds. Because of the lies that involved in the drama. And this is what happens because we get in these strongholds and do these things. When we use drama, we get our way. David used drama to get this bread. But one man noticed it. He saw it and he reported to King Saul. The priest gave David consecrated bread. Saul comes and confronts the priest. The priest said, I didn't know what you're talking about. The man was on a mission from you. I have, you know, if he's authorized by you, I'm going to feed him. He said, and did you not inquire? Saul said, did you inquire of the Lord? In other words, did you pray for him? Intercede? Yeah. And he said, I've done it before. He's your man. You know what Saul did? He ordered that priest and all of his family and all the other priests put to death. They killed their wives. They killed their children. They killed the babies. They killed everything connected to them. You know why? Because a man used drama and told a lie to get what he wanted. And it brought about the destruction of those that helped him. This is what can happen when you use worldly strongholds and you resort to the things that accompany drama and withdrawal, and I know this is tough, but see, we don't think about the after effects and who all this is going to hurt because we're so focused on taking care of ourselves. And that's why these strongholds in our lives, they're all about us. And they're about the devil getting in the way and using these things. And then he turns it on other people. So this priest and all of his family and all the other priests died because of what David did. The king of Gath would have killed David. So he used the stronghold of drama and he acted his way out of it. He acted crazy. We start running and hiding and seeking a stronghold. We all have. We start covering up. We make excuses. We start lying. We start depending on drama to get us through. How many people could you name right now that you know and you say, there goes the drama queen of San Antonio? Really? Or there's the drama king of the hill country. Everything they do is exaggerated and drama. And isn't it a pleasure to sit down with people like that and you start talking about, you know, oh, my, you know, whatever it is. My sister's not well and all that. And somehow they always turn that right on themselves. Oh, I know what you mean. And when I went through it and everything you say, they turn back and they use drama and their hands. You ever notice that? Drama people like to use these gestures way out there. They exaggerate everything. And you think, I got to scoot back. They're going to put out my eye. And they're trying to baffle you with this. Daze you with their brilliance. And you really finally realize, I'm going to quit talking. Everything I say, they just turn back and their whole life is nothing but a drama. Everybody's against me. I'm a victim. The whole world despises me. The day I was born, they had a meeting and said, we are against you. You ever known people like that? Everything they say, they're a victim. It's not my fault. But you ran over their dog. They let the dog out. Anything, no matter what, it's never their fault. Running and hiding, seeking strongholds, lying, depending on drama. So I ask you, what drama are you using as a stronghold? Temper? Is that your drama act? Is that what gets your way? Is that what pushes everybody back? Is that what keeps people from being too close, discovering who you really are? Is it aloofness? Is it being easily offended? Are you easily offended? Do you know someone who is? And people have to walk on those little eggshells all around you? I know this is, I'm not trying to be tacky, but why do you want people walking on eggshells around you? What's your deal? You ever been around someone and they said, watch out what you say. Careful. They get their feelings hurt easily. My nature, and I'm sorry, because God has to work on me, if somebody tells me that and they say, watch out, Tony, don't, careful how you talk to so-and-so, they get their feelings hurt. I say, oh, let's hurt them. Let's get it over with quick. I don't want to wait. Let's just get them hurt now. Because I believe that the best defense is an offense. Never let the bad guys get set, go after them. And yes, the Lord does hold me back. I'm confessing something that's just a streak in me. But when somebody says, careful, don't get too near them. It's like, oh, I'm going to barrel right up there and see how long does it take me to defend them? Because here's the thing. I didn't bring the eggs in. You brought them, and I'm not going to walk on their shells. You think about it. Did Jesus ever tiptoe and walk around any eggshells not to avoid hurting somebody? Never. So if you're going to run, if people are going to run high in the cave, you know, why don't you just look at yourself and say, well, I'm not going to run in there with you. You bring the eggs, I'll crush the shells. That's Tony. God restrains me a lot of times, but I'm being honest with you. Yeah, it's like, you don't mind just walking around into. I used to be afraid to confront anything. I was. When I was a young pastor, I didn't want to confront anything, say anything controversial. I don't know what's happened to me over the years. It's like, deep down, I'm just going to say what's on my heart, mind, what God gives me. I'll even speak my opinion. I try not to appear, but before church and around, I'll just say it. Why? Because I want to hurt somebody? No, but I just tired of being put into a robot position. Aren't you? I just want to be a person sometimes, and I don't want to be covered up with somebody's drama. So what drama are you withdrawing? You use depression, seclusion. What emotional cave, friends, are we hiding in? What emotional cave are we using to not be involved with people? Oh, it almost broke this thing. It just fell. It already fell over. I guess it was hung up here. Well, let's look at the caves that we hide in that become strongholds. There's a stronghold of aloofness. We don't want to get too close to people. They may hurt us. How many of you married and yet you really don't want to be known by your partner? You really don't want any of their family, your family, knowing what makes you tick. I grant you that we all have a right to some privacy and certain things in our life. We do not have the right as Christians to hide ourselves, because we're the light that shines into the world. And let your light so shine before people they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why are you aloof? That's a stronghold. You retreat to it. Because if people know me as I really am, if they know my temper, if they know my thoughts, if they know I say things I shouldn't when I'm out by myself, so what? When are you going to come out of that cave? When are you going to listen to what the priest said to David? Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Get out. Go to Judah. Why did he say that? Because David, God has anointed you and called you to get out here and help his people. And you can't do it hiding in the stinking cave, in your stronghold. And every one of us are called to help God's people. We can't stay in our strongholds. There's a stronghold of fear. We become afraid of people knowing us as we really are. They might abandon us. They might dislike us. They might talk about us. They might hurt us. In the beginning, when this happened to you back years ago, you treated and you withdrew from people. You started learning not to trust them. Scripture even backs you up. The Bible says, have no confidence in the flesh. That means don't put trust in anybody's worldly means, their flesh. But it doesn't mean that you hide from them and withdraw. What if everybody in this room right here and everybody listening to this message, what if you just opened up your heart and became transparent? And it didn't matter to you anymore what people thought. What mattered to you is that the light of Christ shines out. And that's all. Even with all your mistakes. You know, when the light of Christ is shining through us, out of us, it's also illuminating our humanity. I used to fear it. I was afraid people would know that, yeah, the real Tony, that he's rather aggressive about things and he just... The thing is, sometimes I tick people off. I don't mean to, but I do. I've had others out and about say, man, you just say it, don't you? And it's like, yeah. At least I'm using words, not bullets. All right? Here's the thing. We're put here for a purpose. And when we retreat to these strongholds, these caves, when you pull away from people because if they get to know me, they won't like me. Let me say something to you. If they get to know you and they don't like you, you don't need them anyway. You minister to them and move on, but you don't need them. Oh, well, let me move on. What about the stronghold of drama? What more can I say? We've seen it used by David. We always see a person that's in the stronghold of drama. Here's how you identify them. This will identify yourself if you do this. We all done it. We always have excuses for our behavior. We raise our voices and we get angry and we criticize others. It's always somebody else's fault. We act in ways that we act in ways for, like David did, for either people to stay away from us. We may not go around scratching on doors and doors and drilling, but we have fits and spells and get ugly and people stay away from us. Or we focus on ourselves and talk about ourselves so much nobody else wants to talk to us because all they hear about is same old stories over and over. They stay away from us or they feel sorry for us. These are childish strongholds. These are what teenagers do. I was reading a book. It's Gay Morton. He has a wife and three daughters. And he's got a little house the state provides for as a game warden. It's in the Picket series. He said he calls his house the House of Hormones. He drives up, sees all these little eyes looking out the window. And Daddy's home, and it's the House of Hormones. I thought, oh my goodness. And here's this. He chooses not to go into a cave. He goes in there, loves them, and he deals with it. But how many people run from that? That's my point. And don't want to be in the middle of it. And this particular guy, his name's Joe Pickett. Joe Pickett walks right in the middle of it and hugs them all, and he chooses to just stay in it, even if it drives him up the wall. Because he's dad and he's husband. And he takes that responsibility serious. So friends, listen. What is your cave? What is your stronghold? Drama? Fear? Aloofness? This one? Nails probably all of us from one time to another. How about the stronghold of victimization? Did you retreat somewhere long ago as a victim because of someone else? And you needed time to yourself. You pulled away. Somebody was after you big time. Somebody gossiped about you. They were out to hurt you in school, whatever it is. Maybe you had a bad family situation and it was abusive. So you begin to retreat into the stronghold of victimization. It's not my fault. Can't help the family I was born with. See, this goes back to those childish things. So much of this, childish behavior. And running the strongholds and staying in strongholds is childish. Get in there. They saved David at first. They saved you, but we got to come out. I retreated into a stronghold. Stayed there 7 years. God didn't send the priest to get me out. He came himself. I didn't want to ever come out of that stronghold, and I didn't want to ever do this job again. And I've said it before, but it ties in here. Because it was my stronghold. I didn't know it at the time, but it was. And I went there saying, I'll never pastor again. I am not going to be talked about behind my back. I'm not going to have notes on my windshield saying, we hope you die. And all of these things that you go through over time. And it was like, I'm not going to do this. I will not pastor another church. Don't you make me. I will not, and don't you make me. 7 years, you know the story. Some of you don't, and that's why I'm telling it. But at the end of that time, and I won't go into all the details, not necessary here, but God brought me out of there, and he humbled me. And he crushed that cave I was hiding in, that stronghold. And he made me get to the point to where I was so wretched, so miserable. It was either please kill me, take me up, or put me back in the ministry because I can't live like this anymore. I'm tormented in my soul. And God stomped a stronghold and he said, you know, take you repent of what you said, I'll serve you. I was wrong. I don't want to. I've told God many times since, I don't want to do this anymore. He says, I know, go do it. You can tell him, but he won't change his mind. What does he say? My calling and my gifts are irrevocable. I won't take them back. So I went there. I withdrew. And I know what happens when you withdraw from God. It makes you sick. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And you can die there, or you can come out and get back in the game. Get back in the program. Get back in life. We use victimization. They made me. They hurt me. They put notes under my windshield. Whatever it is. Whatever your thing is. They ran me out of the community. They didn't want me in the church. That's why this church is here. This church was founded to take in everybody who'd been hurt everywhere else. That was it. That was its purpose. We still do. People had a divorce, went through a bunch of stuff, did something wrong. You know, really wrong. But they want to get back right with the Lord and need a place to worship. Everybody's not doing this behind their back. So they come here. And that's why our ministry is like it is. It's designed that way. Relaxed, open, transparent. And I'll tell you what else. That's why God put me through what He put me through in life. So I'd be transparent and able to communicate not only from the Bible but from the heart to people who have been so hurt, and they don't need a fake up here. They don't need somebody who's never been through it and acting like they have. They need a guy that's had his head knocked from one inside of the room to the other and still up here and messed up his life in one every way it can be messed up, and God's still using him. And that's why I'm here, and that's why you are here. You need someone up here who can say, been there, done that, and God's still using me so He can use you. Right, I've said this before, but that's the truth. Why are we afraid to say that? Thank you. Why are we afraid to say that to other people? Why do we want to look so good? Why don't you just look real? Christ in me, my hope of glory, and He's using me a whole wreck, a bundle of mess, and He put me back together. That's what you need to tell people. God is using me. I was a wreck, a mess. I still am. You don't know how easy I can mess up, but God still uses me. And they're looking at you saying, so He can use you, right? If He can love me, He can love you. That's what you need. That's what we're here to tell people. Just come out of these blasted strongholds. Don't be a victim anymore. It's their fault. They made me do it. They had it coming. They. Do you hear this from people? They. They could start it and drive off in it. They. There they go. Okay. When you're a victim, you see, you become addicted. Victims become addicted to something. You know, a stronghold that protects you from an enemy may become a stronghold to another one. It becomes your enemy. I need to be closing, so I'm getting near the last of this. Our third point, deliverance from strongholds. How do you get out of these blasted things? You've got to do what Gad the priest told David. You got to make up your mind. I'm leaving this stronghold. I'm not going to run away when I'm confronted again. I'm not going to hide when I'm insulted. I'm not going to yell and scream and use drama anymore. God, make me into the kind of person that if someone insults me to my face, I can still stand there and not insult back and not go hiding. And not say, I'm never going to that church again because I got my feelings hurt. I've heard that so many times from people. You know, I ask them, you know, you believe in Christ? Yeah. You've asked Jesus in your heart? Yeah. Well, why aren't you in church? Because they hurt me. And it's like, here comes the victim. You know, the truth is, they probably did. And I hear the story, and some of them are pretty gruesome, and people did hurt them. People really talked about them. People had no reason to do that. But that crud's going to happen sometimes. Now, I'm not excusing it. Crud happens to people. And I don't hear much. I don't get these calls, but I have before. And they're horrible. You know, hey, I went to this meeting. It was I heard a lot of this from the ladies' group and men's group. And they just sat there talking about so-and-so. And I've had many calls in the past, not here, but other places. And they talked about you, Pastor. It's like, what's new? What is it this time? And I did something. I remember I got a vehicle they didn't like. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, I got a pickup. Does anybody remember when I got the pickup? And the deacons thought that was just above what a pastor should drive. A pastor should drive a car. You notice we don't have deacons, right? Okay. Enough said. It's just isn't about me. But simply to say, it's so easy to become a victim. Did I ever want to quit? A lot. Did I ever wish on Sunday driving to church that I didn't have to do it? Oh, many times. Haven't you? You ever been in a church where you just dread going in there? I hope it never happens here. I like coming here. I look forward. I sit out there. I gather my notes. I'm sitting there thinking for a while, and I come storming in here, and I'm ready. I look forward to bringing the word here. I can't say that always was true. How about you? You ever been in a place where you just didn't really look forward to it? Just didn't know where else to go? Let's keep it that way here where you like it and it's fun. And you know nobody's going to be pointing their finger and doing all this stuff. Recognize your stronghold as a defense mechanism. And I just put a little note here. You know, hiding from yourself. Do you hide from you? You say, what do you mean? Are you hesitating to admit who you really are? It's like if I lie to God, he'll believe I'm what I say I am. I sometimes wonder, you ever wonder this? When people talk to you and they're going on about their Christianity and all that, it's like, are you trying to convince me or yourself? Who are you trying to convince here? Do you know you? Have you ever just let God come in there and just open you up and make you real? You hiding from you? You hiding from others? You know, hiding doesn't make your problem go away. It just gives your enemy more time to get set. Face the fact that your stronghold is something used of the enemy to ensnare you and trap you. So get out of it, whatever it is. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it overeating? Temper? What is your... Or maybe it's just depression. You just get so down and everybody, leave me alone, I'm depressed. It's amazing what depression can get you. Some people do get depressed. By the way, if any of you suffer with depression, I mean you really have depression issues, I want to share this with you. If you go back and read through Scripture, almost every major character got depressed. Read the Psalms. You think David ever got depressed? Man after God's own heart? Think he ever got mad? Are there times that I get depressed? For all of you who do, I want to share this with you. There's times for no reason, I can't even explain it, I just suddenly... Anybody feel? Ever get that? Just, okay. There's no explanation for it. But you know what God says? I'm not condemning you for being down. You're worn out. You're tired. Your chemistry's off. Whatever. You've been going and going and going. Hearing so much bad news, or whatever it is. All God ever says, a sense in my heart, God's saying is, just don't stay there too long. Reach out, I'll grab you and pull you out. Just don't make a habit of this of staying in there too long. Who didn't get depressed in Scripture? Did Paul get down? Did all of them get down? You can't serve God and not have low moments. We all talk about the mountaintops, but what we need to talk more about is all those times when it just is a hard, slugging, dry cereal grind. Enough. I've got to close. Strongholds can become addictions, and addictions are a means to blaming others, hiding from reality. Here's the big one. If I blame you, I don't have to look at myself, do I? Here's some things that's common that I hear all the time. I put these in kind of, they're kind of fun, but yet they speak to us. Here's one I've heard, got right there, a couple, and one of them will say, you drive me to drinking. She drives you to drinking? She goes and puts the bottle in front of you and says, I'm going to push this down your throat and make you drunk. You make me angry. Anybody use that one? Somebody's lying in here. Thank you. There's an honest one back there. Yes, you made. Can anybody really make you that way? You choose it? No. But we choose it. We like it, don't we? I've done it too. They made me mad. Okay. You hurt my feelings. You poor little eggshell. But do you catch what's involved in this whole thing? That's such a trap for us. Hear it. You. Never me. I didn't have a facial expression or an attitude. I didn't have a tone of voice that might have led you to say what you did. I didn't add that on, did I? Oh no, it's you. You hear the danger? The warning here? Don't worry, if you don't care for this message much, I didn't care for it either. I told God, this was just tough. All these are tough. And it's like, you gonna trust me? You gonna bring it or not? Because there's people that need this. So leave your strongholds. Let them go. Ask God to destroy them, to pull them down so you can't go back. It's time to face your real self, the real world. It's time to be the person God put you here to be. The prophet came to David and he said, you go to Judah. What was he saying? Get out of this stronghold. Why? Why? Because God called you, David, to help his people rescue them from the Philistines. You're the man. And I'm saying to you today from the word of the Lord, you're the woman. You're the man. You're here to touch people's lives, and you can't do it hiding in a blasted cave. You can't do it making excuses. You can't do it blaming. Get out there and mix it up. There's people God put here just for you to minister to. They need you. Think some politician's going to minister to them? Some rich pastor? No, you are. I am. That's what we're put here to do. So leave it. Face yourself. Get on with it. I'll close with this prayer. Jesus, you saved me. You call me. You call me to help your people. Jesus, I can't do it from a cave. Lord, tear down my strongholds. Lord, you're the only stronghold I need in my life. All other of the flesh, the world, the devil. I trust you, Lord. I have faith in you, Lord, that you've come to give me life and give it in abundance. And I shall know the truth. And the truth, Lord, will set me free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.